Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, it's already Thursday. Or is it Monday? What is it, Sunday? Again, the days are kind of blurry, and I'm not sure it matters much, but here we are. Another day older, and boy, I'm no wiser. I hope you are. Jordana just filled in for Chad, did a great job as always, and looking forward to being back with Jor next week. Of course, Dave Josephson hanging out with me this afternoon, keeping me out of trouble, and I appreciate that. Amy Klobuchar, as you just heard, being vetted by Joe Biden's team for a VP slot. We'll see how that turns out. One of perhaps a dozen candidates being considered. So, look, people are scared. People are upset. People are angry. We are all in a state of mourning for what has been lost over the past 2.5 months. We all want things to go back to January and even much of February. So I don't know much. My dear wife of 36 years reminds me of that every morning. But here is what I think I do know. The world is rarely black and white. It's usually some nebulous shade of gray. And yet, we approach ideas and policy, even this virus, almost as if we live in a world of comic book superheroes. The governor is a hero? No, he's a villain. He's so noble he should be wearing a cape. No, he's out to destroy us. Really? COVID-19 must have alien superpowers, because not only is it killing Americans in large numbers, it is, in fact, turning us against each other. Red versus blue, now there's mask versus no mask. Corona cowards versus corona jerks. I'm right, you're wrong, I'm good, you're evil. We can't fight the virus, we can't see the virus, but we can sure see the flaws in each other. And it's easy to take swings at people who don't think exactly like us. Will our better angels prevail? Man, I hope so, because the experts, the epidemiologists tell us we are in the second inning of this dark passion play of infection and disruption. However ugly the next year will be, we're going to get through this. But only if we look out for the good in each other, the things we have in common, the things that bind us together and always have for centuries, kindness, empathy, generosity, a history of looking past our differences and finding a way to just get things done. My Christian friends might ask, what would Jesus do? I don't pretend to know. None of us know. Odds are he wouldn't be screaming or shaking his fist. He'd probably smile and turn the other cheek, listen to people's concerns, and try to help. He'd have sage words of advice and wisdom. He'd look for the God-shaped light in each of us. Can't be red or blue, me against you. We have to find our way back to red, white, and blue. And I'm starting to appreciate shades of gray. Rarely is the world black or white. Let's battle the virus, not each other. That's the only way we're going to get through this thing intact as one nation under God. You may have heard Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey, starting next week, people over the age of 2 will have to wear a mask or some sort of covering over their nose and mouth. Inside stores, government buildings, schools, recreation centers. And, okay, I'll wear a mask. I don't feel like that's a threat to me. I don't think it threatens my civil liberties. They're not coming for my guns. I'll wear a mask if it helps somebody else. If it lowers the odds of somebody near me being infected by me, then yeah, I'm going to do it. Why not? John Pavlovitz said it better than I could ever say it. He tweeted out, when you wear a mask, you're saying, I give a damn about other people. I have compassion for the world around me. I'm trying to love my neighbor as myself. I trust science and respect caregivers. I'm trying to do less damage to the world, not more. Again, the mask doesn't protect me if I wear a mask. The mask protects you from me. Just in case I'm asymptomatic and I'm wandering around and I have this thing and I don't even know it. So it's an act of kindness. It is the definition, I think, of Minnesota nice. Why not? If you can help somebody, prevent somebody from getting sick, maybe save a life, why wouldn't you do that? As easy as strapping on a mask, and no, this won't last forever. Hey, are you interested in camping? The DNR released specifics about campgrounds opening up in Minnesota. Some exciting news, some good news. We'll talk to a DNR official next. Hey, why do we live in Minnesota? Well, some of us live here because of the winters, because it usually snows, it gets cold, the ice skating is good. But many of us live here for the summers and camping and the lakes, the water. If you love water, it doesn't get any better than this. And we don't have hurricanes or sharks to worry about here in Minnesota. Yeah, it gets cold every now and then, but I'm looking forward to camping. A lot of listeners looking forward to camping, and we thought we would get an expert on the air from the Minnesota DNR. And joining us right now is the DNR Assistant Communications Director, Kim Pletica. She's joining us from the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline. Kim, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm happy to be talking to you today. I'm happy not to be talking to politicians. I want to talk about camping. Can you share some good news with our listeners? The campgrounds are opening up slowly but surely, right?
They are indeed. And I know that that is news that everybody wants to hear about, including me. I think all of us, like you were saying, some of us live here in Minnesota because we love this. We love being able to get out. So it is wonderful news to know that we are going to be doing phased reopenings beginning on June the 1st.
Wow. So walk us through this. My understanding is even effective tomorrow, there are, 75 remote campsites and state parks for the Memorial Day weekend, but many of those have already been reserved. What kicks off on June 1st, Kim?
So on June the 1st, many of our camper cabins, yurts, and non-housekeeping cabins are going to open. Some of our state forest campgrounds will open. And around 20 of our developed campgrounds will open with limited services.
Okay, that's good news. Dave Josephson, I know you are big on camping. Do you have some questions for Kim?
Well, yeah, Kim, I'm very happy to hear that. And I have a reservation actually for a campsite later in June that I'm excited about. But I went on today to look at trying to reserve a campsite. And I was a little confused at how I would do that. So if we don't know today which campsites will be opening and which phases on which day, but we know that all campsites in Minnesota, you have to have a reservation online for. What do you tell people that want to make a reservation for a specific park 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now? Can we go do that today? Will that get refunded if it's not opened? How do people navigate making plans over the next month?
Right. No, I completely understand that. So what we'll make sure that we're doing, first of all, I should say right now, up until May 31st, people are able to cancel any reservation that they have, and they'll get a full refund. so they don't need to worry about that. But moving forward into our campgrounds as they will be opening, as those campgrounds reopen, like as we know which campgrounds will reopen, those will be added to the inventory online, and you'll be able to reserve them just like you would any other reservation.
Okay. That's good to know. Kim, walk us through the physical distancing. Are there any physical changes being made to any of these campgrounds? I mean, obviously, camping is sort of the definition of physical distancing, social distancing. But I guess my question is really around bathrooms, you know, washroom facilities. How can we keep some semblance of physical distancing there?
Well, you know, we're still asking people as much as possible to maintain social distancing. The bathrooms are tricky, I will admit. Some of these bathrooms will not be open. That is the one thing that we're letting folks know about. Vault toilets will be open for the most part, but some places might not have bathrooms open. So we are really encouraging people, you know, if you're heading off to a campground, it might be vault toilets. So maybe bring your own toilet paper and bring your own cleaning wipes and those sorts of things. The camping will be maybe a little more rustic than we're used to because we are opening in this phased manner. We're trying to do it as quickly and as safely as possible because, again, we just want to make sure that everybody gets out there and has a good time. Just like you and I, Dave, people want to get out there, so we're trying to make it happen as quickly as possible.
Oh, I think you're going to be swamped. I mean, it's always a great idea to go camping, to soak up the beauty that we have in this state that none of us take for granted. But I think this summer, more so than ever, a lot of people, myself included, not going near airplanes. I love to fly, but I'm going to just wait on that. And this is a great opportunity to explore Minnesota and maybe go back to some favorite campgrounds or explore new campgrounds. Now, by June 15th, Kim, the rest of the campgrounds are going to be open pretty much statewide with full services. Do you think you can stick with that timeline?
Well, that's what we're hoping. We've got it. That's our phase four. By June 15th, most of our what we call complex campgrounds will be opening. So we also, by that time, expect to have our fish cleaning buildings open, one household at a time being able to go in there. We also expect the Mary Gibbs Cafe at Itasca State Park to be open for the walk-up window. All of our remaining state forest campgrounds and some of our nature stores as well. So we're really expecting by the 15th to have as much open as we can. I mean, obviously, after that, some things will stay closed, right? Beaches will be closed. Our Itasca housekeeping cabins and lodging, the Douglas Lodge. Visitor centers, group centers, fire towers, those also will not be open after the 15th. Larger group facility rentals and special events places, those will also stay closed. And so will scheduled interpretive programs. So we do have some things. You know, obviously, we're trying to keep that social distancing as the governor is requesting us to do. So to that end, some of these things will stay closed. So you won't see some of those open, but other things absolutely will be wide open and ready to go.
Kim, if I'm looking at planning my camping adventure for the next few weeks here, and you're talking about phases of opening, 20 or 30 at a time and a few weeks over a process, question actually from a texter here, how would I know which ones are going to be open? Is there going to be a list published? Is that going to be planned out in advance, or does it go step by step?
Well, right now we're doing step by step. I'm sure our camping folks already know which things they're getting ready to do. I don't have that information in front of me because this is a step by step process. So the one thing I do know for that person who texted is that if they're looking at a particular campground, stay tuned online because we'll be putting all of that information online as soon as we get it. And also to reservations. Like I said, as soon as those campgrounds will be open, as soon as we know which ones will be open, we will be getting that reservation information online so that folks can start reserving in those campgrounds. So does that make sense?
Yeah, that's very helpful as we plan ahead. One more question. Sorry, Paul, I'm kind of hijacking your interview here, but I'm very interested.
That's okay. No problem, Jordana.
Wow, that was low. As we hear about social distancing and trying to stay in groups with just our family, like in restaurants here in Minnesota, it's going to be a limit of four people and up to six if you're within your own family. Is there going to be any guidelines like that around campsites? Can I have six people that are not in the same household at the same campground? Could I reserve three different campsites with me and a bunch of friends right next to each other? Or is there going to be rules and regulations about that?
The current rules are the groups have to be 10 or fewer. So that's what our that's what we are following right now, groups of 10 or fewer. So, yeah, if you're booking a space, just make sure it's 10 or fewer people and you'll be good.
Awesome. Well, thank you for brightening our afternoon. We cannot wait to hit these campsites.
I agree.
I think you cheered up a lot of people by coming on the show today. And thank
good,
you.
I hope
and
so.
Thanks to the amazing people at the DNR. I'm always in awe of the great things that the DNR do on a daily basis. So keep it going, and we'll see you camping, okay?
Great. See you camping.
Absolutely. That was Kim Pletica. She is Assistant Communications Director for the Minnesota DNR. When we come back, a few graduation commencement speeches. We've got a few snippets. Jordan is my grandson, and he's 3.5 months old. Jordana included a few snippets on her show earlier. I want you to hear what Ashton Kutcher had to say and Miley Cyrus had to sing. And if you missed Trevor Noah last night, you'll want to hear what he had to say as well. We take a break. We exhale. A little bit of good news next. So, yeah, look, what a lousy year to be graduating from high school or college, but, you know, that old adage about life giving you lemons, make lemonade. I'm always amazed at the number of young people who are making lemonade, and they're going to be tougher. They're going to be more resilient because of this pandemic, and man, are they going to have a story to tell their grandkids someday. Miley Cyrus appeared during Facebook's virtual graduation, and she sang The Climb for graduates everywhere. Here's what that sounded like. So that was Miley Cyrus, and Ashton Kutcher addressed the University of Iowa Honors graduates with an online address earlier this week. Here's what Ashton had to say.
The world's going to throw curveballs. It's just going to happen that way. So plan on it happening. And as a part of that plan, come up with big, giant ambitious ideas, because the world needs them. But a word of caution, ideas are cheap. Execution is expensive. So hold your ideas until you're ready to defend them, and be ready for people to try to tear you down. Sometimes they will, and it hurts. And that's why knowing what you're doing it for matters.
There you go. Yeah, talk about a curve. Everybody is suffering from this curveball. Who would have predicted this? Other than maybe a few intelligence officers and a few epidemiologists who were on top of this. I mean, who even, 3 months ago would have predicted that we are where we are now? Well, where we are now is reopening, and slowly and methodically, and we hope carefully, and we're hoping that maybe that second wave of infection does not materialize, but we need to be ready for it just in case. Look, I try to get to bed at a decent hour. I'm grateful for David Josephson, for DJ, our producer, for rounding up some of the funniest clips from the late night comics. If you missed Trevor Noah, here's what he had to say last night.
What is bad is that at least one state where the data was showing improvement may have actually been fudging their numbers.
Meanwhile, in Georgia, the State Department of Public Health posted a misleading chart on its webpage. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution says the chart made it look like the number of confirmed cases was dropping steadily, but it did not list the dates in order or keep counties in the same position each day. It's since been removed, and the department told the Journal-Constitution the chart was wrong because of an error in data sorting.
Okay, guys, this is messed up. Georgia is accused of basically face-tuning its coronavirus numbers to justify ending their lockdowns earlier. In Georgia's defense, it may not be their fault that they had the dates out of order. It's hard to keep track in quarantine. Like, I thought yesterday was Friday and tomorrow was meatball, which of course is ridiculous. Meatball isn't for two more days.
Meatball? Suddenly I'm hungry. When's the last time you had a good meatball, DJ?
You know, that's a great question. I made meatballs earlier this week, actually. I think I still have
some
in the fridge. Yeah, turkey burgers, turkey, you know, ground turkey and egg and a little bit of crushed up cereal for a little breading, and they were nice.
Oh, that sounds good.
You know, hearing Trevor Noah, though, talk about, you know, tomorrow's meatball because nobody knows what day it is anymore, and evidence of that is Jordana has forgotten what day it is like four times on the radio in the last month.
Yes.
You know, we're all in the same boat. I wonder if this weekend could be sort of a marking of beginning summer and maybe getting back into a little bit more of a routine. And, you know, will we remember what the days are a little better moving forward after this weekend? We all get a three-day weekend, can move into our summer, can gather in groups of 10. Restaurants are opening in another week. I wonder if we're at the end of that and life will get back just a little bit back closer to normal.
I mean, I think you bring up a good point. And look, we had the fishing opener, which was a little blurred by, very blurred by the pandemic. But the thing that I appreciate, among others, about Minnesota is the traditions. The things that unite us, whether it's, you know, Memorial Day, the Aquatennial, the 4th of July, the state fair, fingers crossed that we have a state fair this year. And then, of course, in the fall, you've got, you know, the deer hunting opener and, well, a lot of things to look forward to. And I think many of us appreciate the seasons, the variety. But for me, DJ, and just for me, my favorite time of the year is between Memorial Day and the 4th of July, the month of June, because the days are long. Mm-hmm. I mean, the sun doesn't set till about, 9 o'clock, 9:04. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I just feel like I have more energy and more optimism during the month of June. It's, you know, summer is starting. You're full of optimism and potential and, you know, all these plans for your summer, all these things you want to accomplish. Maybe you'll get to some of them. I rarely get to all of them. But just that sense of promise and potential is what makes me so happy the next few weeks.
Yeah, isn't it amazing that in a world that's been turned upside down in the last few months, maybe we, before all of that, we're looking forward to our trip to Paris or our steak dinner across town or the big game or whatever, all of these extravagant things that we as humans have thought up over the centuries. And now that all of that's been taken away, what are we looking forward to? We're looking forward to longer days so that you can sit outside and have dinner instead of sit inside and have dinner. And it's things like that we, you know, often take for granted, but now we cherish and look forward to so much.
I tell my family out east, you know, Minnesotans, I mean, we're pretty good at quarantining. I mean, we do it half the year, right? I mean, some of us feel like we're under house arrest for half the year. So we're pretty good at staying home and doing as we're told. And I understand the frustration that's building out there. Believe me, I do. With three companies that I'm involved with, I get it. I get it. We also want to keep people safe. And, you know, people say, again, I'm running into some people, DJ, who say, well, it's just seniors and, you know, they can stay. If they're scared, they can stay home. I don't think it's quite that cut and dry because many of us visit our parents or our grandparents or our aunts and uncles. So unless you want them truly isolated, if you have any plans to visit them, I don't think I could ever get over the idea that I infected a friend or a family member who became very sick or, God forbid, died. I don't know if I could live with that. And I think that's one of the wild cards of this virus and one of the things that makes it so insidious. You remember Magic Johnson? No longer obviously playing in the NBA, Hall of Fame member, still making valuable assists. Magic Johnson announced that Equitrust Life Insurance Company, which he owns a majority of, he's done quite well, that's an understatement, is providing $100 million in capital to fund federal loans for minority and women business owners who've been hit hard by the pandemic. Equitrust is working with another lender that specializes in asset-based loans for minority-owned small businesses to distribute the loans through the federal government's Paycheck Protection Program. These loans are aimed at supporting people of color and women who operate businesses in underserved communities. Again, African Americans have been victims three times more than white Americans with coronavirus, three times more infection and death. So when we come back, what did we miss? Sloan Martin has an update on today's press conference from the governor's office. She's up next. Paul Douglas, happy Thursday. Jordana will be back with you tomorrow. I have the day off tomorrow. I will be filling in Sunday morning in place of Sports Huddle from 9 to noon. And I'm looking forward to sports coming back. Can't wait for the Twins to be back. And we're going to talk to Maxie, Mike Max, from 4:30 to 5 to see if we are getting closer to that glorious day when we do, in fact, hear an announcement that Major League Baseball is back. It seems like we're close. In the meantime, a lot of people want to go to church, and some, it turns out some masses and some Christian churches may, in fact, hold church, have religious ceremonies against the specific orders of Governor Walz this weekend. And I know a lot of people who feel like churches are being picked on, but Sloan Martin is here to talk about what happened today at the Minnesota Department of Health daily COVID-19.
Is why it is so precarious in what to do with churches. So nothing in this most recent announcement affects them. It is still gatherings of 10 or fewer. But a lot of people are looking at what is happening with restaurants, where as of June 1st, they'll be able to serve up to 50 people outdoors and physically distanced. So why not churches? And they say that there's still the concerns about community spread and also about the unpredictability of the setting. The CDC just put out today a study from a church in rural Arkansas, where over about a week period, out of 92 people who attended this church, 35 ended up getting COVID-19 and 3 people died. So these large settings, even though they do have these measures in place to keep people distant, Catholic churches looking at 33% capacity, also sanitizing common areas, it still is up in the air about what this risk is. The other thing I found interesting, Paul, was this concern where vulnerable people will feel compelled to come back to church. So that's really another concern they have, too.
What I find fascinating is the singing, the choirs that have inadvertently, accidentally spread this thing. And I guess, you know, talking, if you're in the airspace of somebody who has the bug, if you just walk past them, chances are you're not going to get it. If you're sitting near someone for half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour, and especially if people are singing nearby, you're much more inclined to get the virus. Is that correct?
That is what officials are saying. They point to this one called a super spreader event that was in Washington State, where a choir practice was together for a couple of hours, and multiple members of that group ended up coming down with COVID-19. I mean, I think about the Catholic Mass, too, and how you administer the Eucharist, for example. I mean, even wearing gloves, but how do you share a cup to take the body and blood of Christ? So I don't know how exactly that's going to work, because that is such an integral part of the Catholic Mass is the Eucharist, and how you make that, you know, do you physically distance in that line in order to get the Eucharist? How do you keep these shared kind of plates and surfaces clean? They put out a plan, a sanitation plan, the Catholic bishops did, but they're obviously very confident with what they're going to do going forward.
The number of cases going up still because there's more testing. My assumption is about 6,000 tests now a day in Minnesota. And the experts say keep an eye not so much on the number of positive cases, but on the number of hospitalizations and people who need intensive care facilities. What are you hearing about that? And talk about the serology test. Talk about the immunity, and it's still a bit of a mess out there.
Yeah, Paul, there are a lot of numbers to look at. You cannot just look in isolation one number out of all the data that is out there in front of us. So technically, this is the sixth straight day with fewer cases than the day before. Obviously, that's really positive, but MDH Commissioner Jan Malcolm says she does not expect that to continue because there are other indicators of spread, such as community spread, and you can look at that. I've linked to it in articles I've done on WCCORadio.com, but there is a dial-back dashboard that will show you how prepared they are in certain categories, such as the rate of positive tests, the testing rate, community spread, which is hovering above where health officials feel comfortable, above that 30% threshold, and also those hospitalizations, like you said, that continue to go up. But we did get an update about serology tests, and Minnesota is now diving more officially into several tests and trials to try and learn more about how they can be utilized. Because at this time, because there is so much unknown about the virus, we don't know what a protective immune response means with this virus. Is it going to be, you know, a long-term protection, or is it going to be wiped out by, you know, fall or winter by the time the virus mutates like the flu and becomes something different and you don't have that immune protection? So serology tests right now are purely for determining how much of the population has been exposed. So they're partnering with blood banks. That's one example of what they're doing. They're going into seven parts of the state where they're going to take random households, collect information on symptoms, exposures, and then there'll be a lab component with that as well. Of course, that is all voluntary, but just to get a better idea of how they might be able to better utilize serology tests. But it looks like at this time, there's really no way forward in terms of making it kind of an immunocapital, so to speak, where it is you have these antibodies, you have a positive serology test, and that makes things a little bit different for you. We're definitely not in that spot.
Sloan Martin, thank you very much for the update. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul.
You bet. When we come back, COVID around the country, you won't believe what they're doing in Hawaii. That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.